Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Chav Tes. We are holding on Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis at Bishlama, three lines from the end of the page. Last word on the line is Bishlama. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander and honored his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Shalom, Nisham Shav and Aliyah. We thank him for the continued sponsorship of our Daf Yomi Shir. So the first thing we're going to discuss in today's daf are the three steps in front of the menorah to indicate how tall the menorah must have actually been. Because we've already been discussing the menorah. We're going to talk a lot more about the menorah. We're going to talk about the kind of gold that was used by Shlomo HaMelech to make the menorah, and why the menorah is described as tahar, and how that differs from the shulchan, which was also described as tahar, but it means two different things in those two different contexts. We're going to talk about three different things that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand until Hashem showed him, and one of those things was the menorah. Then we're going to discuss how each letter, even the kutzo shel yud, and being makiv kevil, being surrounded by parchment, is ma'akev. We can talk a little bit about the shapes of letters, the kutzo shel yud and the shatnes getz letters that require crowns on tops of the letters. And the Gemara is going to talk about how if you're not sure about the tsuras ha'os, sometimes you enlist the help of a child. We're going to tell the story of Moshe Rabbeinu discovering the concept of the crowns on tops of the letters when he saw Hashem doing it, and how that introduced Moshe Rabbeinu to a future personality by the name of Rabbi Akiva. And then the Gemara is going to talk about how Olam Hazeh is created with the letter Hey, and Olam Haba with the letter Yud. So basically, a lot about the menorah and a lot about letters of the Aleph Beis as far as it relates to how to write them properly and the meaning of some of the letters. So let's begin with the Bishlam, three lines from the end of the page. On Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis. So it says Gemara, Bish Lama Gviyim Esrim Mishnayim. I understand where we got the number that there are 22 Gviyim on the menorah. Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says the menorah Arba'a Gviyim, that in the middle branch of the menorah there are four Gviyim. Uksiv Shlosh Gviyim Mishkadim Mekana Echad Kaftar Beferach. And it goes on to say Shlosh Mishkadim Mekana Echad Kaftar Beferach. Kailish Shesh Tekana Mayotim in a menorah. So Arba'a Dida. So you have the four Gviyim of the middle branch of the menorah. And then three. Timni Sreid Dukanim, and then you have the 18 of the other branches of the menorah, because it's three for each of the other six. So Ha Esrin Vitartin. So that's how you get to the number 22, because 18 plus 4 is 22. Kaftorin Nami Achadasar Kaftorin. I also understand Achadasar. I understand how Kaftorin equals 11, because Kaftorin Trei Dida. You have two Kaftorim of the middle branch of the menorah. One between the Yerech and the Kanim, and the second one above the Kanim, because the Pasuk says, Ubinor Arba Gvim Shkudim Kaftorah Frachah. So the middle branch of the menorah had Shnei Kaftorim, Vishisha to Kanim, and then you have six Kaftorim on the Kanim of this, on the six branches of the menorah, because the Pasuk says, Kaftor Vivarech, and Cain, Lesheshis Akanim Yotzimina menorah. So each Kana had a Kaftor, Vikaftor, 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 and then another kaftar on the middle branch from which the two of the side branches emerged, and another kaftar from which another two of the side branches emerged, and a third kaftar from which another two of the side branches emerged. Hachadsar. So that's how you have 11 kaftorim. Ela prachim tisha minalan. Where do we have nine prachim? So prachim trei dida. After all, there are two prachim of the middle branch of the menorah, one between the Erech and the Kanim, and the second one above the Kanim, because it says in the Pasuk, Ubinora Arba'a Gviyim Mishukadim, Kaftoreh Ufracheha, so Shnei Prachim that you have in the middle branch, Vishisha de Kanim, and you have six more for these six other branches, so Timnei Havu, so that's eight Prachim. So how do you know that, there was another Perach on top of the Yerach? So it says, Gemar, Amrav Shalman, Ksiv Ad Yirecha Ad Pircha Mikshahi. So that pasuk adds another perach close to the yerach above the legs of the menorah. So together with the two prachim that were on the middle branch and the six that were on the six other branches, so that's how you end up with nine prachim of the menorah. So now we've accounted for all of the special things on the menorah. So how tall was the menorah? Amarav govishal menorah tisha tfachim. The menorah was nine tfachim tall, not very tall at all. So esvir Rav Shimi Barchia l'Rav. Rav Rav Shimon Bar Chiya challenged Rav from a Mishnah in Miseches Tamid that Evan Hoysel of Menorah Uba Shalosh Malos, that there was a stone, a pedestal in front of the menorah that had three steps on it, Shalah Kohen Omin Meitav Esaneros, where the Kohen would stand on, and he would stand on that pedestal and clean out the Neros. So Amalei, so Rav said to Rav Shimi Bar Chiya, Shimi At, you're this great Chacham, Shimi, and you're asking such a question. You're much smarter than that, than to ask such a question. That's how Rashi learns. Rashi says that some say that Rav was asking him, no, are you Shimi? I don't see you. I don't, because Rav Mitoch Tznius didn't lift up his eyes very much. So he just asked for identification. Are you really Shimi? But in Maseches Nidan Daf Chav Dalet, Rashi says that can't be true, because we don't find Rav throughout the rest of Shas, every time he talks to somebody, saying, hey, who are you? It's only over here that he does that. So it must be that because Shimi Bar Chiya was Rav's grandson, so Rav spoke to him in such loving terms, that you're so smart that I wouldn't expect you to ask such a question. Kika Amina, when I said that the height of the menorah was 9 tefachim, I don't mean the whole height of the menorah was 9 tefachim. I meant misfas konim ulemaila, that from the edge of the konim and above, meaning below the konim, it was another 9 tefachim. So it's a total of 18 tefachim. Now, Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, when it describes Shlomo HaMelech's menorah, it says, Vaperech v'aneiros v'milkach chayim zov hu michlos zohav. So my michlos zohav. So Amar Rav Ami, shekilatu l'kol zov sagur shal Shlomo. That this finished up, the menorah finished up all the zov sagur that Shlomo HaMelech had. It was all used up in producing the menorah. Zov sagur means the finest gold. Rashi writes that at the time that they would sell that, all the other stores that would sell gold might as well close, because no one wants to buy any gold if this was available. It was the very best possible gold. That's what the Gemara in Yuma sounds like it says. In Malachim Aleph, on the word Zav Sagar, the Targum Yonasan is Dahava Tava, good gold, the best gold. Rashi says Zav Sagar means, Rashi over there says that Zav Sagar means because anyone who has it is Sogar Liatzmo Ve'inu Mocharo. So he would close it off for himself and he wouldn't sell it. That would be the special stash that he would never dream of selling to somebody else. It is too precious to sell to somebody else. So anyway, so that used up all of the very best gold. Dam Rav Yidam Rav. Esser menorahs asa Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech made 10 menorahs. V'kal achas v'achas hevila elef kikar zahav. And each of those menorahs, he brought 1,000 kikar zahav to start with. V'chnisu elef pam lakur. And he put it through the kiln 1,000 times. V'midu el kikar. And he purified and purified and purified until he was left with a kikar of the finest, purest gold possible. So, Eni, is that really true that making the menorah used up all the gold of Shlomo HaMelech? V'aksiv, doesn't Pasuk say, Divriyam v'chol klei mashka HaMelech Shlomo Zov v'chol klei beis yara levanon zov sagur ein kesef nechshav v'imei Shlomo l'umma, that the kelim that Shlomo HaMelech made were all made out of gold. All the kelim in his house were made out of gold, because kesef wasn't really worth anything in the days of Shlomo. So you see, Shlomo HaMelech was exceedingly wealthy. So how can you say that the menorah used up all of his gold? So says Mer, zov sagur kamrinan. When we say that making the menorah used up all of his gold, it means only this very, very high-end type of gold called Zahav Sagar. But of course he was very rich and he had other gold. So we see that Rabbi Yudam Rav says that for each menorah, Shlomo HaMelech started with 1,000 kikar Zahav and he put it through the kiln 1,000 times until he was left with only 1 kikar. So it sounds like every time he put it through, he lost another kikar of volume. That's the ratio, that when you purify it, each time you purify it, you lose a kikar of volume. So I asked the Gemara, "Mi chaser kulei hay? Is that really true?" V'atanya, doesn't the Brisa say, "Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Doomer, Ma'isa Vaisa Menorah Space Hamikdash Yisera Al Shel Moshe Bedinor Zarv Kurdia Keni," that the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash was weighed more than the menorah of Moshe by one Kurdia Keni dinar. V'chnisu Shmonim Pa'amim Lakur. So they put it through the kiln Tefillin 80 more times, Vemidu al Kikar, and they got it down to a Kikar. So you see that one dinar is removed after 80 times. Not that a Kikar comes off every single time. So the Gemara says, no, one time that you put the Zahav through the core, a Kikar Shalim does come off. But the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash was already put through 1,000 times in the days of Shlomo. So Kivit the Kai Kai, since after 1,000 times it was down to a core, so it was brought into the core, it was down to a Kikar, the Zahav wouldn't burn off so quickly. So it had to go 80 additional times in order to burn off a Dinar Shel Zahav, meaning it's a diminishing returns in terms of how much most of the impurities come off much more quickly at the beginning when there's a lot more impurity. So the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Shimon bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan, Mai Dechsiv al Menorah Torah. What does the pasuk mean when it says al Menorah Torah? Why is the menorah called Tahora? Sheyordu Maaseh Mimakum Tahara. It's an indication that how to produce the menorah came down Mina Shamayim, from a Makum Tahara, meaning Mina Shamayim. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu had to show it to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu just had to produce a menorah that looked like what he was shown Mina Shamayim, that the instruction manual came Mina Shamayim. El Me'ata, but if that's true, that whenever it says Tahora, it means that it came Mimakum Tahara, ala Shulchan HaTahor, Sheyordu Maaseh Makum Tahara. You can say the same thing about the Shulchan, that the Shulchan came down to Moshe Rabbeinu from Min HaShemayim. Chidush HaMichas L'Rashba points out that Rabbi Yonason holds that only the menorah, which is so intricate with so many details, Kaptorim and Gvim and Prachim, all of that, that needed to be shown to Moshe, but the Shulchan doesn't have so many details. Plus, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown the Tzura of the menorah, because it says, Kemara Hera Hashem Es Moshe, Kain Asa Es HaMenorah. We don't find that by the Shulchan, that it says anything like that. So what does the word Tahor mean in the context of the Shulchan if it does not mean that it came down in a Shemayim? Elo Tahor Mechal Shutameh. No, Tahor means that the Shulchan is Mekabel Tumah. So we're saying that it's Tahor as opposed to what it could have been, because it could be Tameh. There's a possibility of a Shulchan being Tameh. Well, Hachanami, maybe by the menorah as well. Tahor Mechal Shi Tameh. That Tahor just means that the menorah could be Mekabel Tumah. So how do I know? How does Rabbi Yonasan know that the word Torah, dafka in the context of the menorah, means that it comes mimakum tara? So it says, Marabish, Lamahasam, I understand very well by the Shulchan, you want to tell, I need the Torah to tell me that it has the capacity to be Mekabel Tumah, because I would not have known that on my own. Kidresh Lakish, Tam Resh Lakish, Maidach Siv al Shulchan Ator, Michal Shu Tameh, that indicates to me that it has the capacity to be Tameh, but why is it Mekabel Tumah? Kliyetz Asu Linachasu. After all, it's a Kliyetz that's meant to be, to stay in one place, that any time a Kli Eitz is meant to stay in one place and is not metaltel, male virekam, is not metaltel, is not movable, both when it's empty and when it's full, is v'chol Kli Eitz osa nachasen mekabel tumah. The rule is it's not mekabel tumah, so why should the shulchan be mekabel tumah if it's a Kli Eitz ha'asu l'nachas? Elam l'amit shemagbiyin osa lo'le regal, it must be that it's not osu l'nachas, because they lift it up, they lift up the shulchan for the Ole Regalim, Umarim Lem Lechma Panim, and they would show all the Ole Regalim the Lechma Panim, Va'omrim Lem, and they would say to them, Ru'u Chibaschem Lefnei HaMakom, look how beloved you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My Chibaschem, what is the special show of love through the Shulchan? Kid Rav Shem Levi, Dam Rav Shem Levi, Neis Gadol Nasa, B'Lechma Panim, Siluko Kesiduro. There was a great miracle that happened with the Lechma Panim, that when they took it off the Shulchan, it was still warm, like the day that they had put it on the Shulchan, even though 8 days had passed since then. Shenemar, because the pasuk says that when Achimelech HaKohen gave David the lechem upon him, it says Lasum lechem chom biyom ilakcho, that the lechem was still hot on the day it was taken from the Shulchan, like the day it was placed on the Shulchan. So you see that had they not picked up the Shulchan in front of the Oli Regalim, the Shulchan would not be Mekabel Tumah, because it would be a Kli Eitz Ha'asu L'Nachas. So that's what the Torah is telling me, ala Shulchan Atar, that the Shulchan is not a Kli Eitz Ha'asu L'Nachas, because there were times that you had to pick it up in order to demonstrate, in order to show the Ole Regalim. Ela Hacha, but when it comes to the menorah, Tahora Mechal Shi Tameya, Pshita, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that the menorah can become Tameh. It's obvious that the menorah can become Tameh. Kli Matchos Ninu, it's a metal Kli, Kli Matchos Mekabel Tumah, metal Kelim are always Mekabel Tumah. Ela, so what does it say Tahora? Why does it say Tahora by the menorah? Sheyod Maaseh, Mimakum Tahora. So the word Tahora by menorah is different than the word Torah by Shulchan, the word Torah by the menorah, is to tell me that it came in Makom Torah, that the Tzura of the menorah came in Hashemayim, and the word Torah, when it came to the Shulchan, is to demonstrate that even though you would think that it cannot become Tameh, yes, it can, and that's why we have to identify it as Tahora. Now, there is a machlokas later in the Masechta between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon when they would bake the lechem upon them. Rabbi Yehuda held that they would bake it on Shabbos, or Rabbi Shimon held that they would bake it on Erev Shabbos. So Tosus points out over here, Siluko Kisiduro, Tosus points out that according to Rabbi Shimon, that the lechem was baked on Erev Shabbos, when we say that, oh, it was hot on the day they removed it from the Shulchan, just like it was on the day that they put it on the Shulchan, that doesn't make much sense, because they put it on the Shulchan a day after baking it. Sometimes you go to the bakery and something's fresh out of the oven and it's warm, but if you're buying yesterday's stuff, it is no longer warm. So why would you say that Siluko Kisiduro? By Siduro, it was not warm. So Tosel says, now it must mean that Siduro was fresh, that not warm, but that it was soft, that it was still fresh and soft. Says, no, they would leave it in the oven until Shas Siduro, that they would bake it on Erev Shabbos, they would be mesader it on Shabbos, but in the meantime, they left it warming in the oven. Now, it's interesting that we describe the Shulchan as a Kli Eitz Ha'asui L'Nachas. Every part of that phrase is problematic. It's a Kli Eitz, wasn't it lined with gold? And it's Asui L'Nachas, the Mishkan was moving constantly. How can you call it a Kli Eitz Ha'asui L'Nachas? So the reason it's called a Kli Eitz is because even though it was Mitzupa Zahav, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls it a Shulchan Eitz in Sefer Yecheskel, HaMizbeach Eitz Sholosh Amos, Gava V'Orcho Shtayim Amos, M'Ktsos of Lo, V'Orcho V'Kiros of Eitz, V'Yidabre Elai, Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem. Kept calling it Eitz, because since the base is out of wood, even though it's then lined with gold, apparently that's reason enough to call it eight. That when you want to identify what its fundamental material is, that's what's on the inside, not what's on the outside. Tosos, in a number of places, points out that even though the Shulchan would travel with the Mishkan, nevertheless, it's not considered to be metaltel, because in relation to all the other Kelim, it traveled in the same the same path as the rest of them, that they would always travel in the same Seder, and therefore that's not considered to be movement. That's not considered to be mitaltel when they had to take it, reset up the Mishkan and change and go from one location to the other. Everything moved in uniformly. So that's not considered to be mitaltel at all. So now the Gemara brings a Braisa that says that, you know what, the menorah wasn't the only thing that Kodesh Baruch had to show the Moshe Rabbeinu. Tanya, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Arun shel Eish, Vishulchan shel Eish, Umenorah shel Eish, Yardim min Hashemayim, that there was an Arun, a Shulchan, and a menorah that was Yardim min Hashemayim, made out of fire for Moshe Rabbeinu to see what it looked like. V'ra'a Moshe v'asa, k'mosa, Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Arun, the Shulchan, the menorah shel Eish, and then his job was to make one, a real one, a physical one in this world, to match it. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, Urei v'ase, kitav nisa masharat ha'mara bahar. So mar'eh, when the mem has a kamat, means that others have showed you. So elameata, if that's the case, then when it comes to the Mishkan, v'akimosa, Mishkan k'mishpato, asher her esa bahar hachinami, does her esa bahar mean that he had to be shown the Mishkan? So hachaksiv k'mishpato. By the Mishkan it says k'mishpato, the halacha of the Mishkan were what was shown to him, because that was taught to him at Har Sinai. But Hasan by the Aron, by the Shulchan, by the Menorah, Ksiv Kitav Nisam, sounds like he saw the actual structure of it. How did he see the structure of it? Because he saw it in the form of fire. Amr Bechir Barabba, Amr Yochanan, Gavriel, Chagur Kamin Piskayahoya. The Malach Gavriel, who's the Malach of Eish, was belted up like a craftsman who wants to make something nice. Veherelo l'Moshe ma'ase menorah, and he showed Moshe Rabbeinu how to make the menorah. D'chziv v'zeh ma'ase menorah. Zeh means that someone is showing something physically, demonstrating to a person. Tanu d'Rabbi Shmuel, shlosha dvarim There were three things that were difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu to understand until HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him an actual image of it. First one is menorah, that's our topic. And then the second one is Rosh Chodesh, that the Kiddush HaChodesh, the time of the Molad, the Levana is not recognizable. So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure how much of the moon you need to see in order to be Mekadesh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the Levana B'chidusha to show him this is what it looks like. Ushratzim, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know which Shratzim were Tahar, which Shratzim were Tamei, which Shratzim were Kosher, which not, and which not. Menorah d'chsiv is a ma'asei ha-menorah. The menorah, it says, zeh ma'asei ha-menorah. Rosh Chodesh d'chsiv, ha-chodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodeshim. And Shratzim d'chsiv, v'zeh lachem ha-tamei. That these are the Tamei Shratzim. So you see, the word zeh always means to be marah be'etzpa, to be able to point to something and say, this is it. V'yeshorm, some say, afil cheshchita, that Moshe Rabbeinu had trouble with cheshchita as well. He didn't know which part of the neck of the animal precisely had to be sliced, and is kasher l'shchita, and which part is too high up on the neck or too low down on the neck, which would not be kasher l'shchita. Shenemar v'zeh asher tasa al mizbeach. So that's also a zeh. So you see that it was a morabe etzba'o. Now in Maseches Chulin, the Gemara darshins on Daf Mem Beis, zos hachaya asher tochelu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu each and every min to show him what you're allowed to eat and what you're not allowed to eat. But Tosus points out the Brisa doesn't mention that as one of the things that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu, because we're only mentioning things that say zeh, not things that say vizos. And that says vizos, even though maybe that was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Then Tosus asks the kasha, that's the only coincidence. Well, how come we don't mention machsa shekel, Pasha Shkolin this week? How come he doesn't mention machsa shekel? Because after all, it says zeh yitnu kala over al pikutim, and the Yerushalmi darshins in the first parak of Masechta Shkalim that a matbea shel eish HaKadosh Baruch Hu took mitachas kisei kvodo and showed to Moshe Rabbeinu. So you see zayitnu to say this is what the machzah shekel looks like. How come we don't list that as among the items that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show Moshe Rabbeinu, that he had to demonstrate to Moshe Rabbeinu in the form of a fiery something? So Tosfos answers that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't having trouble with it, he just didn't know which matbea to give. He could picture a matbea. He knew what all the matbeos looked like. He just didn't know which one to give. Tosfos Maseches Chulin Daf Mem Beis adds that he was struggling with Machsa Shekel, but it was a different struggle. It was a philosophical struggle. That what could a person give Lekofer Nafsho that's going to make up and be a kapara for himself? Tosfos says that by Chaya Tahora and Temeya, he didn't have difficulty. He just didn't know which was Mutter, which was Aser. Meaning, again, he knew what they all looked like. He just didn't know which ones were Mutter, which ones were Aser. Okay, so then says the Gemara, the Mishnah had said, "Shtei parshiyos shebe mezuzah." That the two parshas of the mezuzah are ma'akev each other. Even a single letter that's missing from mezuzah is ma'akev, is going to pasul the whole mezuzah. So asking where pshita, obviously if you're missing a letter from the mezuzah, it's pasul. After all, the pasuk says uchsavtam al mezuzah pesach vishrecha, and the Gemara in Shabbos darshan uchsavtam means ksiva tama, that it needs to be a complete ksiva. So obviously if the mezuzah is missing that, it's pasul. Now the chiddush of the Mishnah is, not only is the letter ma'akev, but there's a special form of the letter yud, that if you're missing this tiny detail of the form of the letter yud, then it's going to be pasul. So kutza shel yud has to appear on the yud. What is the kutza shel yud? So Rashi says that even just a dot is a letter yud, but to have a little leg sticking down from the yud, that's the kutza shel yud. That without the leg sticking down from the yud, your yud is going to be pasul. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted by the Balei Tosfos over here that no, kutza shel yud means that on the left side of the letter yud, you have a little thin line that sticks down on the bottom of the left side of the yud. And the Rush writes that it could be kutza shel yud is on the left side a thin line that sticks up from the Yud. That's the Kutzah Shel Yud. Bir Alacha writes in Simen Lamed Vav, in the name of the Sefer Baruch Shomer, that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Kotz HaTachton and the Kotz HaElyon are the same. The Mishnah writes only about the one on the bottom being Ma'akev and not the one Lamaila, because the one that goes Lamata is smaller than the one that's Lamaila. So it's saying the bigger Chiddush, that even the teeny tiny little edge at the bottom is going to passel the Yod. But of course, the one on the top is going to passel the Yod. So we require all these things on the bottom, on the top, and obviously the leg of the Yod. The problem Rabbeinu Tam has with Rashi is that, of course, you need the right leg of the Yod. If you don't have the leg of the Yod, then it's not a Yod, it's just a dot. So that's not a Yod at all. So the Chiddush is Kutzo Shel Yod, that you're adding something, that there's some little something added to the Yod. So says Mar Hanami Pshita, isn't that also obvious that the mezuzah is possible if it's missing a Kutzo Shel Yod? Because if the os is not an os, obviously it's going to be possible. Elo l'ki'idoch to Rabbi Dom Rav. The Mishnah is needed to tell me the other din of Rabbi Dom Rav. Dom Rav Dom Rav, kol os she'in gvil mukaf lo me'arba ruchoseha. Any letter that is not surrounded by klaf on all four sides, psula, is going to be possible. So that's what it means, ksav echad ma'akvan. The halachos that are said about os achas, that one os is not allowed to be attached to another os, you need a clean cloth around every os, that would passel as well. So now the Gemara discusses, what if there's a puncture, a hole in the parchment on the letter? So which way, when is that going to passel, when won't that passel? So Amar Ashion Bar Nadvach Mishmed Rav Yuda Nikav Tocho Shel Hey Kosher. If there's a nekev in the inside left leg of the letter Hey, it's kosher, as long as there's a little bit of ink there. Yerecho pasul, but the outside leg, the right leg of the letter Hey, has a nekev, it's going to be pasul. I'm Rabbi Zeid Lidim Farshim Mineid Rav Huna. I heard an explanation from Rav Huna of Rabbi Yaakov Amar Lidim Farshim Mineid Rav Yehuda, and Rabbi Yaakov says I heard from Rabbi Yehuda Nikav Tocho Shel Hey Kosher, that if the left leg of the Hey has a nekev, it's kosher. Whereas Yerecho, the right leg of the Hey, in Mishnah Yerbok Shiros Ketana, if you're left with the at least the size of the letter Yud, kosher, the imlav, pasul, otherwise it's going to be pasul. Igra chamud Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba's father in law Igra, if Sikale Kari de Hey, had a problem with his tefillin that the leg of the letter Hey was broken. De ha'am, in the word ha'am, the pasuk says, Vayomer Moshe el ha'am, Zacharas ayom hazeh, in the parsha Yosef of the tefillin. So benikva, and there was a nekev there. That's what was mafsikit. So Asal Kamed Rabbi Abba, he came to ask a shayla about the kashrus of his tefillin to Rabbi Abba. So Amalei Rabbi Abba says, Imishtayer bo kashir os ketana, if the regal of the letter Hey still has the size of the letter Yud, then kasher. V'imlav pasul. But if it's not, if it does not have remaining in it, the something the size of the letter Yud, then it's going to be pasul. Rami Bar Tamri du chamua de Rami Bar Dikule, if sikalei kari devav. Rami Bar Tamri, who was the father-in-law of Rami Bar Dikule, had also a problem with his tefillin, where the leg of the vav was nifsak. To v'yarog, in the word v'yarog, where it says v'yikiyik shaparu l'shalchenu v'yarog Hashem kol b'chor b'aretz Mitzrayim, benikva, there was a nekev in it. So as the Kamed Rabbi Zera, they asked the child Rabbi Zera, Amalei, zil aisi yenuka, delo chakam delo tipesh, go bring a child who's not particularly sharp, nor particularly not sharp, because if he's a chakam, he's going to understand that that it could have been written Yehareg Klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom, and therefore he's going to know that it should be Vayaharog and not Yehareg. And if he's a Tipesh, he's not going to know how to read anything that's not a full letter. So when he sees that some of it is missing, he's not going to know that there was some sort of letter that was written over here. So you need somewhere in between, that he's not going to be able to chap what the alternate word would be. He's just looking at the Tzura Sa'os, but he realizes that there's something up with the Tzura Sa'os, and that he has to use his imagination a little bit to fill in the Tzura Sa'os. So Ikari Le Vayarog, if he reads it as Vayarog, Kasher, Ilo, Yehareg, who apostle. And if he not, then it's Yehareg with two Yuds, and then it's going to be then it's going to be apostle. Interesting name over here. Rami Bar Tamri is the father-in-law of Rami Bar Dikule. So it sounds like father-in-law and son-in-law both had the same name, which the Tzava of Rabbi Yudah Chassid says you're not supposed to have. There's a Tshuva in the Noda B'Yehuda, it's quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva in Yerodeus and Kufta Zayin, where one of the Talmidim asked about a shidduch that was mentioned with his brother-in-law that the girl's father had the same name as the brother-in-law that was suggested for the shidduch, and he says, "I'm worried about Savas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. You're not supposed to marry a girl whose father has the same name as you." So he says that it's okay, no problem. You're allowed to do it. And first he says the reason that Savas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid was only written for his children l'dorei doros because he saw Baruch HaKodesh that for whatever reason his children weren't going to be matzliach with such shiduchim because he says we have a klal gadol that after the times of Shas you're not allowed to change any of the halachas, you're not allowed to make up new halachas, and when you find that one of the Chachmei Yisrael who's muksak b'toru b'yir shemayim writes things that are against the Gemara, you have to say that it's just something unique and personal to their own family, because otherwise it's like kfira to write things against the Gemara. And we know Rabbi Yehuda Chassid was very, very great, so if he wrote such things it must have been that it was only for his own family. And then he gives a bunch of examples of things in Savas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid that are against the Gemara. So others try to come up with why it is that our Gemara, and he brings that others bring that our Gemara is a raya, that you're allowed to have father-in-law, son-in-law with the same name, because then you have in other places in Shas where father-in-law, son-in-law have the same name, and others try to show that that there's an answer to each place in Shas where that comes up, and it's not necessarily a raya that you're allowed to do it. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, B'Shas Shalom Moshe Lamar, Mitzol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyoshev B'Kosher K'sarim La'osios. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, he saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tying crowns onto the letters. So Amar Lefadav Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Mi Ma'akev Al Yadcha? Why can't you just leave the letters as they are? Why do you have to tie these crowns on top of the letters? So Amar Lo, he said, Adam Echad Yesh Asa Lios Besov Kamadoros, V'Akiva Ben Yosef Shemot. There's going to be a guy, and his name is going to be Akiva Ben Yosef, Rabbi Akiva. Sh'asa Lidro Shal Kol Kotz V'Kotz Tilei Tilin Shal Alachos. He's going to have such expertise in Torah and the details of Torah that he's going to darshan piles of halachos from each of these kotzim. So I'm in the fun of Ribbono Shalom, Hareyuli. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, sounds like a spectacular fellow. I would love to see such a person. So I'm like, Rosh Baruch Hu said, Chazor l'acharecha, back up. So halach v'yashav b'sof shemona shurus, Moshe Rabbeinu sat behind eight rows of Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, v'lo ha'yodea mahein omrim. He was sort of like, brought into Rabbi Akiva's classroom, sitting in the back, and he didn't even know what they were saying. He didn't understand the level of the shir was so great. Toshash kochos, Moshe Rabbeinu had a chalisha sadas that Rabbi Kivin knew how to learn better than him. Kivin shigil davrechad. Once they got to a particular topic, amrulu talmid of Rabbi minayin lach. So the talmidim challenged Rabbi Kivin. They say, "How do you know this?" So then Rabbi Kivin said, "Halachal Moshe Misinai." How do I know? It's halachal Moshe Misinai. So nesiash v'daito. That calmed Moshe Rabbeinu down. That his own knowledge always had to be relied upon. Chazar b'alut nekodesh baruch hu. Amrulu fan of ribono shel olam. So Moshe Rabbeinu continues his conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, yesh chadam kazeh v'atanos in Torah al yadi? I don't understand. Why would you give the Torah through me if there's a person that's such a bal madrega, so much higher than me? So Amalo, shtok, kach al makshava lefanei. Hashem says, be quiet. This is what was all of the makshava for me to do. So Amal lefanei, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ribbono Shel Olam, hariseni taraso, hareni scharo. Now that you showed me his Torah, I would love to see what the schar is for such high-level Torah. So Amalo, chazal l'acharecha. He says, back up, chazal l'acharav. He saw that how Rabbi Akiva died this gruesome death where they combed his skin off with these iron combs. Amar lefan of Ribbono Shalom, Zo Torah v'Zo Schara. This is the Torah and this is the Schara that he gets for such Torah. Amar lo shtok kachal makshav lefanai. He said, "Nah, be quiet. This is what I thought to do." So he didn't get a clear answer. A lot of interpretations of what kachal b'makshava lefanai means. The Shlach Kadosh is quoted by Rav Chaim Wasserman. That kachal makshava lefanai means that initially I wanted to create the world with only midas hadin, but I saw that ein olam kayim, the Medrash says, so I had to be mitztarif midas harachamim with midas hadin. But every once in a while you're going to have a tzaddik that is on such a madrega that he can survive midas hadin. He can live a life and get through being treated with midas hadin. And if he can do that, it's a much better outcome for him, because when the rest of us get to the olam ha'emes, to the extent that we're we're going to the good place. It's all nama de kisufa. That it's all, we know that we don't really deserve it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to use so much rachamim in order to get us there. But when the likes of Rabbi Akiva gets to the Olam HaEmes, he will have earned every last bit of it. So that's kach ola b'machshava lefanai, says the Shulchan HaKadosh. That's the way I thought to initially create the world. We all would have been with Midas Hadin. And every once in a while, you have a special tzaddik who deserves such a thing. Rav Elchanan just points out that mistam, if that's true of Rabbi Akiva, then you have to believe the same is true of the Avos, that you have to assume that they were on an even greater level, and they're also treated with a Midas Hadin, and that's why he has a whole discussion of why it is that Yaakov Avinu was expected to have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas HaRachamim. Why it is that Yaakov Avinu was faulted for being afraid of Esav, why should he have bitachon in Midas HaRachamim? After all, he's Yaakov Avinu, he's even greater than Rabbi Kiva, so he should have assumed Midas HaRachamim. So that's the discussion of Elchanan has in Kovitz Ma'amarim. Now for now. Amar Rava, Shiva Usios Shrichos Shlosha Ziyunin. There are seven letters that require three tagim on tops of the letters. Ve'eluhein Shatnes Getz. They are Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, Zayin, Gimel, Tzadik. So they require three points or Zayins on top of the letters. So Amar Rav Ashi Chazinu L'Sifri Davkani De Bei Rav. I saw the very precise sofrim from the Bei Rav. D'chatrilu L'gagei D'ches. That they would make a bridge on the roof of the Ches. So some say it means that Rashi says it means that the top of the Ches was flat, but at the end there was a point that stuck up on the left side of the letter Ches. Whereas the Bali Atzos say, no, it means that a ches looks like two letter zayins, or a zayin and a vav, according to some, that's one difference between Ksaveri, Ksav Beis Yosef, but two letter zayins, let's say, that are right next to each other, and there's just a narrow triangular bridge that connects the two zayins to each other to form the letter ches. So the ches, and they would hang the leg of the hay. Chatri l'gagid ches kolomar, as a way of saying, chai hu beruma shalolam, that he lives in the most elevated place, v'talle l'kari dehei, and they would hang the letter of the hay, the leg of the hay. K'tabay minei Rabbi Yudin Siyam, Rabbi Ami, my dechsev. What does the pasuk mean? Yishayo b'tchum Hashem adei ad ki b'koh Hashem tzur alamim. So Amalei, he said, kol atel b'tchon b'kadosh baruch hu. Someone who puts all of his faith in Hashem, harei lo machsev b'olam hazeh l'olam haba. Hakadosh baruch hu is going to take care of him in olam hazeh and olam haba. So Amalei, so Rabbi Yudin Siyam said back to Rabbi Ami, ana hachi kakashali. My problem was Maishna Dhsiv Bika Viloksiv Ka. Why doesn't it just say Ki Ka Hashem Sura Lamim? So he said, Kidarsh Rabbi Yuda Bar Rabbi Ilai, Elu Shnei Olam Shabara Kodesh Baruch Hu, Echad Behei, Ve Echad Beyur. It's a reference to the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu created two worlds, one with the letter Yud, one with the letter Hey, one with the letter Yud. So Veini Yodei Im Olam Abba Beyud Olam Hazeh Behei, but I don't know which one. Was Olam Abba with the Yud and Olam Hazeh with the Hey, or Im Olam Hazeh? Or was it reversed? So Kshu Omer, when the Pasuk says, Eile told us Hashemayim va'aretz, Bihi bar'am, Al tikri bihi bar'am, Ella behei bara'am, that it was with the letter A that he created them. Havi Omer Olam Hazeh behei. So you see that Olam Hazeh was created with the hay, because Shemayim va'aretz was bihi bara'am, was with the hay. V'olam haba biyud, and the Olam haba was created with the yud. Me'man nivra Olam Hazeh behei. Why is Olam Hazeh created with the hay? Me'shadom la'ach sadra, because it's like a room that doesn't have a fourth wall, like the hay is open on the bottom. Shekol rotza latzeis yetze, that anyone who wants to leave this world and go in the bad path is able to do so. Umay time atalya kare, and why is it that the left leg of the hay is not attached to the top? Why is it hanging? Dihadr b'tshuva, because if a person wants to do tshuva, ma'ilile, there's a path back in. There's a way to come around on the other side. Ula'ili b'hach, why can't you just go back in on the bottom? Lomaseya milsa, it's not so easy, because someone who comes to be matar needs a lot of help from to get over the Yetzer Hara, so we need another Pesach to help him get through with tshuva. Kidresh lakish, tam resh lakish, what does the pasuk mean when it says "im laleitzim hu yalit ula anovim yitein chayin"? So that teaches me "balitaher mesayein," also that someone who comes to do good, to do tshuva, so he'll get siyata d'shmaya to do so. Balitame, a person wants to be a rasha, poschenlo. So opportunities will become available to him for to be a rasha. So someone who's balitaher, you see mesayein also. It's not enough just that poschenlo. He needs siyua. He needs a push. in order to be able to do so. Umay taima amar isle taga. Why does the letter hey have a tag on the roof of the hay, on the top of the hay? So amar kodesh baruch hu im choser bo. If a sinner does tshuva and he kosher lo keser, I'll make a crown on his head. Umay man nivra olam haba ba usyud be yud. Why is olam haba created with the letter yud? Neisha tzadikim shabo muatim, because there are very few tzadikim. So the teeniest, tiniest letter represents olam haba. Umay ma kaf afrosho. Why is the top of the yud bent? Why is there this small tail that comes at the end of the rosh of the yud? Mipnei she tzadikim shabo kaf afrosheya mipnei maaseyan sheinan domim zelozeh. That the each one is the covet of each one is greater than the covet of the other one, because each one is looking is embarrassed. They're sort of like bent over, embarrassed by how great the company they're in is, how great the other people that are in olam haba actually are. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rav Yosef. Everyone have a wonderful day.